بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد بن عبد الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Respected elders, dear brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Generally today we see confidence to be confident as being an important positive trait. So parents want children to be confident so that they are, when they are called upon the stage to perform or to read or recite something, they're able to do so. Athletes want confidence in sports so that they're able to succeed and win. Soldiers need confidence in combat. Employees want to be confident so that they're able to make presentations in the boardroom, meet new people at meetings, at events, and be able to network with other people. This is all most likely true, that there is a certain level of confidence needed to succeed. But overconfidence is now also something which is being promoted as a means of success. I was reading a National Geographic article from September 2011, which started off by saying that believing you're better than you actually are, or than you are, may help you succeed, a new study says. So believing that you're actually better than you are may help you succeed, according to a new study. And it went on to say, and I quote, "Some experts have suggested that overconfidence can be a good thing, perhaps by boosting ambition, resolve, and other traits, creating self-fulfilling prophecies." So the point that they're trying to make, according to the study, is that if you're overconfident, that's actually a good thing because it allows you to go forward and succeed in many areas. Now that may be true in some areas, and that is discussed in detail in the article. But one area in which overconfidence can be lethal is our spirituality. Even if a person is confident, it doesn't mean that the belief that they put in themselves is actually true. Right? If I'm very overconfident about my abilities, it doesn't mean that necessarily reflects reality, that I'm actually that capable. And studies have shown that when people expected their error rate to be 0%, meaning they thought that they were perfect in spelling, for example, or you know, in different types of tests, it actually turned out that their error rate was not 0%, but it was 20%. So even though they believed that they were 100% accurate in what they were doing, in the work that they were asked to do, they were actually only 80% accurate, and 20% was inaccurate. So if you're overconfident, and you believe that you're perfect, you know, so you're the type... Now, these are things we don't like to admit, right? So if I ask someone, "Do you think you're perfect?" Of course, everyone's going to say, "No, brother, how could I be perfect? You know, I'm a weak human being," you know, of course. But in reality, inside, what do we believe about ourselves? How do we perceive ourselves, right? So do we believe that, you know, if you believe that you're perfect, you're always right. In an argument or a discussion, you're always right. No one else could be right. Everyone else is wrong, you are right. You never make any mistakes, right? Someone brings up something, no, they're wrong. They misunderstood. It's their fault. You're perfect. You never hurt anyone. Right? You're such a perfect soul, you never can hurt anyone with your words and your deeds. Right? You will never do anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. Right? Everything that you do is something that Allah would like. Right? So if you have this type of perception, this type of attitude towards yourself, in reality you're probably doing all of these things that I mentioned earlier around 20% of the time. Right? So that's what the study shows. That if you think that you're perfect in everything, you're probably missing the mark by about 20%. So whatever level you're at, whatever level you think you're at, most chances are you're off by about 20%. This is precisely why overconfidence is, or can be, so lethal for spirituality. Because in order to be truly spiritual, we must realize that we are imperfect beings. Right? We must understand that. Not just say that, right? But actually realize that and understand that. Because when it comes to errors, when it comes to mistakes, when it comes to the disobedience to the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not at 0%. We are not. None of us are at 0% when it comes to those things. So if we continue going forward, thinking that we are perfect, that we rarely make mistakes, and therefore we don't need to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is spiritual suicide. What is this? This is spiritual suicide. The prophets of Allah, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, were protected from sin by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yet we find numerous examples in the Quran of these beloved messengers, these beloved prophets of Allah seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Numerous examples. For practically all the prophets that are mentioned in the Quran, you find instances where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that they sought His forgiveness. And this was because they were not overconfident about their deeds. They were not overconfident about their status. So yes, they were the prophets of Allah. Yes, they carried out their mission to the best of their abilities. And yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected them through His mercy from sin. Yet, they still continuously, constantly sought the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were not overconfident. Even the Prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةٍ. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says that I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that I swear by Allah, I seek Allah's forgiveness and repent to Him 70 times a day. 70 times a day, and this is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no question we need Allah's forgiveness for all the mistakes that we make, even those that we may not even realize that we are making. And we all do, no matter how pious we may think we are, no matter how practicing we may appear, no matter how educated we may be in Islam or in other fields, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tells us in a hadith, and this is a hadith of Qudsi, so the Prophet sallallahu, so it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ تُخْتَأُونَ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا فَاسْتَغْفِرُونِي أَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ. That, O my servants, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, O my servants, you sin, you commit sins by day and by night. And I forgive all sins, so seek forgiveness from me. Seek forgiveness from me and I shall forgive you. Right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the command, so you seek first. You seek forgiveness from me and I shall forgive you. Right? You seek forgiveness from me and I shall forgive you. Right? So it's not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, indicating to us, that there is some action required on our part. There is some action required on our part to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And doing so, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the key to experiencing that forgiving quality, that forgiving characteristic of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we know, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has various qualities, various characteristics, right? Which are described through His various names. But to access that, right, to attract that quality, we have to take action. We have to take action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. That whoever does evil or wrongs himself, but afterwards seeks Allah's forgiveness, he will find Allah of forgiving, most merciful. Right? So if you don't seek forgiveness from Allah, if you don't repent, it may be difficult for us to find that forgiving side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is severe in punishment as well. Just as he is oft forgiving and merciful as well. Right? So there's both sides. So if you want to attract that quality, that characteristic of forgiveness, of mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we also need to do something. We need to seek that forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now apart from receiving forgiveness from Allah, which is of course the ultimate goal, right? When we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we do tawbah, when we repent, we are of course seeking the pleasure of Allah. That's the ultimate goal. But there are other benefits as well. There are other benefits as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, مَنْ لَزِمَ الْإِسْتِغْفَارَ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مِنْ كُلِّ ضِيقٍ مَخْرَجًا. وَمِنْ كُلِّ هَمٍ فَرَجًا وَرَزَقَهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if anyone constantly seeks pardon from Allah, constantly seeks the forgiveness of Allah, Allah will appoint for him, this is very important, Allah will appoint for him a way out of every distress. Allah will appoint for him a way out of every distress and a relief from every anxiety. Right? These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And not only that, but Allah will provide sustenance for him from where he expects not. Right? So the forgiveness that we want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the ultimate, and this is what our ultimate goal is, that there are other benefits as well. Right? Other worthy benefits as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us, if you constantly seek the pardon, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will appoint for us a way out of every distress and relief from every anxiety. Right? So when we are undergoing difficulties in life, when we are experiencing hardship, and he talks about sustenance as well, right? So if there are difficulties when it comes to our finances, right? This is one of the ways of seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I'm not saying that's the only way. Okay, don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm not saying that's the only way. What I'm saying is in our efforts to find help for our distress, in our efforts to find solutions to our problems, this is also part of the puzzle. This is not something that we can ignore. Right? And as I mentioned earlier, a few weeks ago, is that everything from the Islamic perspective is related. Right? Our mind, our body, our soul, our heart, everything is related to one another. Right? So if we try to solve a problem with just one angle, with just one piece of the puzzle, and we don't take into account the others, it's going to be difficult to achieve success. Right? So therefore, we put our efforts into finding worldly solutions to our worldly problems, but at the same time, we also turn to the spiritual side as well, because everything in the end comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody could try and try and try and try, yet Allah, if Allah is not happy, if Allah is not satisfied, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to withhold, that person can continue trying for the rest of his or her life without any success. Right? So ultimate success is going to come whether Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with us. But we have to make action as well, take action of our own as well. So we bring all these pieces of the puzzle together and we make a combined effort. Nuh alayhi salam, the great prophet of Allah, Nuh alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes his words, his story of all the trouble he went through, right, for 950 years, all the trouble that he went to preaching to his people, and their response, right, among them, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that Nuh alayhi salam, he said, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا. That I said to them, meaning to his people, ask forgiveness from your Lord, verily he is all forgiving. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. He will send rain to you in abundance. وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he will give you increase in wealth and children and bestow on your gardens and bestow on your rivers. All of this was linked to what? فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ. I said to them, ask forgiveness from your Lord. If you seek forgiveness from your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become pleased with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become happy, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with many different types of things, types of rewards. Hud alayhi salam as well, speaking to his people, وَيَا قَوْمِ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيَزِدُكُمْ قُوَّةً إِلَىٰ قُوَّتِكُمْ وَلَا تَتَوَلَّوْا مُجْرِمِينَ. Right? So the people of Hud, Islam, Qawm of Aad, right? Very strong people. Right? But what does he tell them? He says, oh my people, seek forgiveness from your Lord, then turn to him in repentance, and what will happen? He will send, he will release the heavens upon you, pouring. Right? So pouring with rain or with blessings, and will add strength to your strength. Right? The strength that Allah has given you has come from Allah. Right? The strength that you have, and even now, you know, we don't have that bodily strength that they used to have. They used to be meters and meters tall. Right? But we believe today that we have intellectual strength. We have knowledge. Right? We have powerful minds. We have science. We have technology. We have so many tools that are available to us. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you turn to Allah, you seek forgiveness, what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling them that he will add strength to strength. That even though they had all this physical strength, it wasn't necessarily bad. Right? If they turned to Allah and they sought forgiveness from Allah and they repented, Hud alayhi salam says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will add strength to your strength, and do not turn away like sinners. So whatever Allah has given you, whatever you have, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't turn away from Allah. Return to Allah. Seek forgiveness from Allah, because He is the one who controls the purse strings. He is the one who controls who gets what. So make Allah happy, and you will get the rest. So there are so many benefits of doing tawbah, of seeking the forgiveness and the repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just spiritual benefits in the afterlife, but as I mentioned, worldly benefits as well. This is why we find the people who are pious, the awliyaullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they emphasize this so much. Seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Many times a day, you will find the people who are pious, right? Those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every day they will be reciting istighfar, they will be seeking forgiveness, saying astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu alayhi, or different forms of seeking repentance and doing tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala many times a day, not just once. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would do it, what? 70 times to 100 times a day. Right? So we find many of the pious scholars, our pious predecessors, they also do this every day, many, many times. Sometimes when you go for help, when you go for help to a scholar, for example, to a sheikh, he may prescribe a certain number of istighfar to read every day. Right? They may say read it 100 times, 1,000 times, so many times. Right? And sometimes you wonder that, okay, what's the purpose of doing it so many times? Right? Why are they telling us to seek forgiveness from Allah so many times? And so this is the reason. This is the reason. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, which I quoted earlier, that a person who does it many, many times, right? If anyone constantly seeks pardon from Allah, right? Who constantly seeks pardon. So there's no defined number there, right? So we want to be doing it as much as possible. So the more you do it, the more inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you. So then the question is, when should we do this? When should we say astaghfirullah? Right? And there's different forms which I will mention. When to do this? So this should be done at all times, as much as possible. As much as possible. Sometimes I remember seeing someone who, an elder who would often say, you know, at every step, every once in a while, throughout his day, he would just say, astaghfirullah. Or he would just say, astaghfirullah. And people would wonder, say, why is he saying astaghfirullah? He hasn't committed a sin. He hasn't done anything right now. He's just sitting up, standing, you know, going, lying down. He hasn't done anything right now. Why is he saying astaghfirullah? Right? Why is he doing that? So this is the reason that we try to do it as much as possible. But especially after doing an act of worship, there's some specific times that we should especially take care, right? And seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So after doing an act of worship, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would say 3 times after fard salah. After every obligatory prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam 3 times say astaghfirullah, 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 astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanb wa atubu ilayh, right? And the reason for that is because this is an expiation for our shortcomings. Right? For the lack of quality. Because when we offer salah, or when we do any other good deed, right? We recite Quran, we do tasbih, whatever it is, good charity, there's always an element of shortcoming that we realize again. Why? Because we're not overconfident. As believers, when it comes to our deeds and our spirituality and our connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are not overconfident. Okay? We don't say, okay, that's it. I've done my prayers, I've given my zakat, khalas, okay, now I'm good. Okay, this is not the attitude of the believers. This is not the attitude of the true believers. The true believer is always concerned about the quality of his or her deeds. Okay? That the salah that I have offered, right, the recitation of Quran which I have done, the charity which I have given, there may be some element of shortcoming. Perhaps the salah wasn't, you know, I didn't have as much concentration as I should have had in my prayer. Perhaps there was an element of showing off in the charity which I gave. Or perhaps I forgot something, an important element which I don't even realize. Maybe I forgot to do that. Right? So therefore, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after doing a good act, an act of worship. At the end of gatherings as well. At the end of gatherings as well. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So close with repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason, if it was something good that you did in that gathering, if that was a gathering of khayr, a gathering of goodness, then this is like a seal on the top. Right, to keep that goodness there and don't let it flow away with other factors afterwards, like showing off about it or doing other things. Right? So this is a seal to protect that goodness that was done in that gathering. And If it was a gathering in which something bad was done, which unfortunately is very common for us nowadays, when we get together, a few people get together, hardly a few moments go by before some sin is committed, right? Whether in the activities we're involved in or the things we are talking about, whatever it is. So once we depart, we seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah that will act as a form of expiation for those shortcomings or for those sins that we committed in that gathering. When we come to the end of a term, right, generally it's said that the term of life. So when we're coming to the end and we know that our time is almost going to be up, it could be up any time, but once we know for sure that, okay, it's coming soon, right, then to increase the repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But also I will add, come to an end of a term in anything that we do. In anything that we do. So for example, right, our students are coming to the end of the school year. Right? We have others who are graduating, some today, right? Some at other times of this month, will be receiving their degrees from university. So this is a good time to seek the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Repent to Allah for any of the shortcomings that we may have committed during the course of our studies, during the course of our work, right? We come to an end. What do people do usually at the end? They have parties, right? They celebrate. But the believer should also, it's okay to celebrate in a permissible manner, but a believer is also repentant towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any of the shortcomings which may have been committed during the course of that work. So during the course of the studies, during the course of a project, during the course of an employment, or whatever the case may be, and seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that if there was any harm committed during that period, during that work, it is forgiven by Allah, and that there is, instead of blessings, instead of some sort of repayment to be made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afterwards. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that we used to count the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying in a single gathering 100 times, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَتُوبَ عَلَيَّ إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. Says that we used to count. They used to be able to count the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying this 100 times in a single gathering. So this was the extent of the repentance and the turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the question is, okay, how do we do this? How do we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What's the best way to do it? There's different ways of doing it. So as I mentioned, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhanbi wa atubu ilayh. Right? Very simple. You can learn this. Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayhi. Right? Shorter form. As I mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. Or astaghfirullah alladhi la ilaha illa wa al-hayyul qayyum wa atubu ilayhi. So different forms that we can use, and inshallah, when I get a chance, I will post the Arabic and the English of this on my website, inshallah. And finally, we have the Sayyidul Istighfar, right? The master of the istighfar, of the seeking of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduk, wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika mustata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, wa abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya, wa abu'u laka bi dhanbi, faghfir li, fa innahu la yaghfiru dhunuba illa ant. Which is very powerful. The translation is, O Allah, you are my Lord. None has the right to be worshipped but you. You created me, and I am your slave. And I am faithful to my covenant and my promise as much as I can. So you notice, the best way of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acknowledge His greatness. Right? And then, after acknowledging His greatness, to show your neediness. To show our neediness, to show how small we are in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I seek refuge with you from all the evil I have done. I acknowledge before you all the blessings you have bestowed upon me. So recognize the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Recognize the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I confess to you all my sins. So I entreat you to forgive my sins. For nobody can forgive except you. Right? I was doing a presentation on Islam and Muslims once. And in question and answer, one of the participants, he asked me, he said, you know, in your mosque, do you have one of those booths where you have to go into to seek forgiveness? Right. So the other participants started laughing, but basically he's referring to, you know, confessing, right? Because this is something that happens in the other faith. When you have to, if you want to do tawbah, you need to seek forgiveness. You have to go to the priest, right? You have to go to the religious person and you have to tell them that, okay, this is what you did, and this is so on and so forth, and then they're supposed to seek forgiveness for you. Right? In Islam, you have a direct connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? I tell you, okay, if you've done something, I don't want to know about it. Okay? Unless it's something where you have taken the rights of someone, or you know, something needs to be done to restore the rights of others, or there is harm to others. Apart from that, if it's between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go direct to Allah. Right? Talk to Allah, don't talk to me. I can help you if you have a problem. Right? I can assist you in overcoming that problem, inshallah, by the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? But if you have a problem, you want to seek forgiveness. If you've done something, you want to seek forgiveness from Allah, right? And talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the ways of seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, I will mention, as I mentioned last week, Ramadan is coming up. Ramadan is coming closer and closer.